John chapter 17, and I came a few months ago. I came and you were doing a series going through one of the Gospels, and I did a section from that. And as a result, it got my, you know, I love it sometimes when you get like the pump gets primed. Do you ever find that? And it sets you off on a series of thoughts and a bit of an adventure into the Scriptures. And I started to look at this whole the Passion of Christ and how was it that Jesus was able to overcome in such a way when he knew everything that was before him and facing the horror of the cross. And he knew it because the Scripture says he was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, you know. And just as we celebrated communion again this morning, there's lots of advertisements on TV about washing powders and things that you can add into your wash to remove stains. There is nothing like the blood of Jesus for removing stains that have permeated our lives. But he makes, I love that hymn phrase where it says, his blood can make the foulest clean. Hallelujah. And if we were to spend this morning giving testimony of what God has saved us from and cleansed us from, we would run out of time. We wouldn't have an annual general meeting. That might not be a bad idea. Some of you are thinking, I know. So anyway, John chapter 17, and Jesus has just gone through this phase where he's been speaking to his disciples about he's going to leave them, and they're sort of in a panic mode, and he says to them, you know, don't worry, because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be better for you. I can imagine the disciples saying, what, it's going to be better for us that you're not here? How can that be? And Jesus says, because he will not only be with you, but he'll be in you. And I just love that thought of, he's going to be like me. You're going to have the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. He's identical to me. You know, when I was brought up, I was brought up as a Roman Catholic. I will get round to reading the John chapter 17 in a minute. But you know, I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, as some of you know. And the idea that I was brought up with was that God was a right grump. And he was a mood. He was in a mood all the time. And Jesus was, he was as bad. And if you wanted to get anything from God, you had to go through the Blessed Virgin, because she could get him on the good side, and you know, she could be like this soothing balm. And then when I became a believer, and you start to read the Word, you suddenly realise that Father, Son and Holy Spirit, they're never in a mood. They're never grumpy. They never have a bad day. They never wake up in the morning because they never go to sleep at night. You know, he's there all the time. And there's a consistency of love that we heard about before. He's poured his love into our hearts because he's so good all the time. And we never have to get on the right side of God. Because of Jesus, we're always on the right side of God. And because he's sent his Holy Spirit and he's filled our hearts and lives. I want you, we will get round to reading it in a minute, but I'm on one now. And you know, just think about this, that the Holy Spirit is within you, isn't he? He's there, he's living in you. And the Holy Spirit is the originator of talk. Do you realise that? And that he's talking all the time to the Father. They're talking all the time. It's open. And if that is at work within you, it's mind-blowing. And all we've got to do is to tune in to what he's doing. Because he's in action all the time. Do you realise in your life right now, there's an open heaven? You know, we hear a lot of phrases like that, don't we? Yeah, we need an open heaven. But there's an open heaven in your life. Because there's nothing blocking the communion between the Spirit of God and the Father and the Son. Speaking all the time. And I believe that as we key into that, God takes us to a new level. Wants to take us on more. I wonder if you've stagnated in your Christian life. Have you stagnated as a church? God wants to take you on to see afresh the wonders of all what he has. And as he takes us on, I believe that the key is relationship, and is developing the intimacy of relationship. How was it that Jesus was able to face the horror of the cross as he comes to face his darkest and yet his brightest moment? How could he face all what he knew what was going before him? You see, when we face difficulties and we go through troubled times, we want to run away, don't we? You know, beam me up, Lord. Get me out of here. I'm a Christian. You know, God, I don't want to go through difficulties. He speaks to his disciples. And And he says, in John chapter 16, he says, but the time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each one to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. For my Father is with me. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You know, in Jesus we need to understand, folks, afresh, that no matter what comes at us, we've got in Jesus an overcomer. The one who has overcome the world. We believe that scripture that says, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. But folks, we need to get beyond the mentality of it just being a memory verse and something that we stick on the fridge. Because we've got the one who has overcome the world living within us. And the spirit of the overcomer can enable you to be an overcomer in all things. Hallelujah. I get excited at that, you know. That if I listen to what he is saying, even in my darkest moment, I can rise up to be an overcomer because he has overcome. In the world you will have trouble, but don't fear. I've overcome. The ruler of this world is coming. But he has nothing on me because I'm going to overcome him. Hallelujah. Yeah, we've got an overcomer. And then he goes out and Jesus says this. He says, after Jesus has said this, he looked. I told you I'd get to John 17 in the end. He looks towards heaven and prays, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son with the glory. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. You see, he's facing his darkest time. The wonder, he was a man. He'd laid aside his majesty. Everything he did as a man through the power of the Holy Spirit who came upon him and lived within him. He didn't have an angle over you or me. He overcame. Hebrews says that he was tempted in every way like you and I, yet without sin. How did he overcome? Because he relied upon the presence of the Holy Spirit and his relationship with the Father. You see, he's facing the worst case scenario as he's facing the cross, but he's able to face it because he's learnt a secret of relationship that he can overcome because of his relationship with the Father. Our problem is that we so often try to work it out ourselves and overcoming our own strength rather than falling back on the relationship that we've got with the Father through the Son and maintaining it with fellowship with the Holy Spirit who lives and dwells within us. You see, I believe it's something that the Apostle Paul had. He knew it. He says this. He says, I know before me there awaits persecutions and sufferings, but we don't lose heart. You know, I've read that many times. I'm thinking, if I knew that before me there was persecutions and sufferings, hardships and beatings, I'd look for a diversion, wouldn't you? But he says, I don't lose heart. We press on. Why? Because he knew that his grace was sufficient for him. And I believe that Jesus has got this. And if Jesus has got it, and if the Apostle Paul had it, then it's available for you and for me to be overcomers. The key is a simple one. It's down to relationship. And you see, when Jesus comes out and he's knowing all what is before him, he stops and it says that he looks towards heaven and prays. The psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You see, in the Bible days, they used to think that there was a God that lived on the hills, and there was one that lived in the valleys, one that lived on the plains, one that lived in the rivers. And the pagans would beseech the various gods. But David, in his psalm, he says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where's my help coming from? Not from any of those places, but from the Lord. The Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. So when Jesus comes out, he raises his eyes, because he knows at this moment, in this moment of absolute weakness, he needs help. He needs strength. And so he raises his eyes. He looks towards heaven and prays, "My Father, my Father." And you see, we can be looking around all the time. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was chewing things over. And, should I move? Should I not move? Should we do this? Should we not do that? And you know, when you get into that little, probably not you, you don't probably suffer like this. It's probably the person next to you. You know, where you sort of get, I saw some people then nudging the wife and saying, "It's just like you." And, you know, where you sort of, you're sort of stirred up and you can't settle and you get agitated. And I'm sort of up and down and I'm waiting for the postman in case that word of encouragement or a bit of direction comes through the mail. I'm going to the internet. I'm checking my Hotmail account. I'm seeing there's out coming through NTL. I'm with him as well. And, it's not NTL now, it's Virgin, isn't it? And I'm looking and I'm up and down the stairs and I'm saying, "Oh God, you know, I just need to keep focused." And I'm going back down and 10 minutes after, checking if there's an email there, the postman still hasn't come. And God just spoke to me and says, "Paul, why are you looking to the internet and the mailman? Why aren't you looking to me?" Ooh, Lord. You see, it probably never happens to you like that. He looks towards heaven. And so often we can be busy looking this way and that way, looking to find peace and a solution to a problem, to a difficulty, to a frustration. And God says, "Hey, look to me. Look to me." That's exactly what Jesus did. As he knows that within the next few hours he's going to be taken out. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be stripped naked. He's going to have thorns put on his head. He's going to be spat upon. He's going to be hit with rods. He's going to have his back ripped open through a scourge. He's going to be forced to carry a cross. He's going to be he knows it's all coming. He knows he's going to have the weight, the enormous weight of the sin of mankind placed upon him. And he knows it all. It's coming. And there's such great pressure. And I believe that at that moment, that if Satan could have killed Jesus with the pressure and the weight of all what was coming before him, we would not have salvation. Because Satan does not want the cross. If he could have killed him, he tried when he was born. Sent Herod to kill all the babies in the hope of killing the Saviour. The crowd tried to kill him by throwing him off a cliff, but he walked out amongst them. They took up stones, but he pushed his way through the crowd because that wasn't the way to go. And now in the garden, as he's facing his darkest hour, sweating drops of blood in great weakness because of the enormity of what was facing him. He needs strength and he needs help. And so he's lifting his eyes and he's praying that prayer, "My Father." Because he always, in the English, it just says "Father." But Jesus' phrase in the Greek was always, "My Father, my Father, my Father." And he's looking there in relationship to his Father because he knows that his time has come and that he needs strength. It's a word of relationship that he's crying out with. Our relationship with the Father is purely by the grace of God because we've been born again and adopted into the family of God. But Jesus has never been outside of that relationship. He's the eternal Son of God and he's always known him as Father. And yet at this time, he's crying out because he knows that he needs help and strength that in his humanity he cannot manage alone. So he's looking to the source of strength and help. And he cries out, "Father, Father, the hour has come. The time has come. Glorify yourself. I'm needing your strength." And it's a cry from the heart. And the word that he uses, the Greek word for Father is pater. It's a paternal phrase that he's using. And the word, it contains so much because he's looking and he's saying, "Father, you're the nourisher," because the idea of this word is there's nourishment in God. And nourishment, that's why Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." God, Father, I need your nourishment right now. I'm feeling weak. I'm under this burden. I need nourishment that comes from you. And you see, that's why there's the cry from scriptures for us to press in to relationship with the Father. Because he's the nourisher of our soul. When we're weak, when we don't know which way to go, he's the one who says, "I'll nourish you. I'll bring the nourishment that you'll not find in anyone or anything else. I'll nourish you." And Jesus needs at that moment nourishment to give him strength. Food from heaven. And the Father sends nourishment. An angel appears. one of the gospel tells us, and ministers to him, encourages him. You know, I sometimes think when I get to heaven, I hope God has got videos or DVDs set up around heaven where you can go and just press a button for a time zone and see what really happened when David's facing Goliath or Elijah's on the mountain. And one of the bits that I hope God's got is, what did the angel say to him? We're not told. The angel didn't say anything, but just his presence brought comfort. That, son, you're not alone. Heaven is watching. Heaven is with you. You're about the kingdom's duty. We're with you. Strength. Maybe the angel laid hands on him and prayed and strengthened him. We don't know. But he received nourishment. Because we know that a short time after, he gets up and he walks out of the garden and he says to his disciples, could you not wait just for 1 hour? And then he says, come, my betrayer is at hand. And Judas leads them in and Peter slashes the ear off one of the guards. But Jesus still has time to provide a healing miracle before them all. Why? Because he'd received nourishment from heaven. And you see what God looks at you and I for. He says, look to me to be a source of nourishment. Look to me to provide that energy, that strength, that sustenance that you cannot get yourself. But as you look to me as your Father, it's my duty, my desire to give it. He's also looking there and saying, Father, you're the protector. I need your protection right now. Because he knows the weakness that he's feeling inside. I mean, some people, they panic, don't they, when they go into the dentist. You know, there's like a fear that grips them, the dentist. You know, it depends what your dentist is like. I had to have a wisdom tooth out once. And he gave me the jab. I just think he's got a strange sense of humour. But he gave me the jab and then we went back in. And he shoved something, I got my mouth open, he shoved something under the tooth. And then he pulls out this blade. And he says, it's working. Didn't feel that going. And I'm looking at this blade and thinking, oh Lord, I don't really want to know what's going in my mouth. As it goes back in, I'm thinking, and you feel the sweat on you. I mean, if that's just the dentist and the drill or the blade, how must it have been in Jesus' stomach, in his mind, as he's thinking, in just a few hours I'm going to be mocked and scourged and beaten. And he needs protection because of the weight, the enormity of the task that we cannot fathom. And the Father provides that protection. No, the enemy is not going to kill you before your time. You're going to go to the cross. And he knows that protection. It's not going to end untimely. And that's why I believe he could face it head on and sort of press in there and say, come, my betrayer's here. I'm going. Nobody takes my life from me, but I lay down my life as a ransom. But why? Because he knew the protection of his Father. He's also crying out, Father, you're the upholder. Uphold me at this time. So even though he's got great blood loss, he's saying, Father, you're going to be the nourisher, the protector, the upholder of me. And you see, I believe that one of the cries from the heart of God is that you and I would see again that we've got the privilege of coming to him and saying, Father, you're my Father. My Father who is in heaven. Blessed be your name. My Father, these are my needs. And I believe I lack so often because I know in my life that my lack so often is because I don't press in to the intimacy of that relationship with the Father in heaven. And yet the more we can press in, the closer we can come, the more we see he does all what a father can do. He nourishes, he protects, he upholds. My Father. Romans 8:16 brings in another word. And the Apostle Paul says, you know, we can cry, Abba. You know, it's an Aramaic word of infants used together. It's used as almost as a childlike phrase, Daddy. And it comes out of relationship, of intimacy. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. You see, one of the things that Father wants more than anything is that you and I would pursue the intimacy of relationship with him. Because in pursuing the intimacy of relationship with Father in heaven, we find the provision for all what we need. Our lack of pursuit of intimacy with him causes us to lack all the things that the Father wants to bring into our lives. As we pursue, it changes. It changes us. As we pursue that place of intimacy, my Father in heaven, it begins to change us. It was recognized with the disciples. They looked at the disciples and they said, we can tell these men have been with Jesus. Why? Because they pursued intimacy of relationship. And God wants you and me to be exactly the same. To be a pursuer of the intimacy of relationship. Pursuing it. You see, as we pursue, we get strength. As we pursue, we see heaven begins to open for us. Hebrews again says that we might boldly approach the throne of grace. How can we approach the throne of grace? Only in relationship. Only in intimacy with the Father. What do we receive? We receive grace, mercy, and strength to help us in our time of need. Where does it come from? It comes from the Father of light. The one who wants to help us and strengthen us and nourish us in every way. Because he's Daddy. And he wants to operate more and more in each one of our lives in the intimacy of relationship. You know, I've been challenged over the last few weeks by the Father for coming in to his presence. Because it's so easy to lose the presence of God. And I believe that what God wants more than anything is for his people to know his tangible presence. To know his manifold presence. We hear these phrases, but what does it mean? It means it's having the tingle effect down your spine because you know God has drawn near to you. Because you've just been in that place. We've got some people say, oh, but Paul, we shouldn't be relying on feelings. Jesus relied on feelings. You see, God has given us feelings so that we can feel and experience that presence of God. I heard a phrase just a few months ago, and it stirred me, and it was simply this. Don't let what you know hinder what you need to know. And I believe that's so important, that we can have such a framework within our minds of the things that we know, that it can actually block us from that what God wants us to know of himself. Because he wants us to press in, to know him in a more intimate way than what we've ever known him before. You see, God wants us to be on a journey to pursue him so that that what Jesus had, we can pursue and say, Father, I want to know you like Jesus knew you. I want to know you in that intimacy of relationship. And that's why when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, it blew their mind because he was saying, well, when you pray, pray like this, Daddy in heaven. And for them it was alien because he was bringing them into relationship. And our problem in our Christian walk is we become often so religious over a period of time that we lose the joy of the intimacy of what God has given us, what has been purchased through the blood of Jesus. That I've got relationship with him. That he's my Dad in heaven. And he wants me to pursue him with all my heart. To be on a quest for him. To know him more. And one of the songs that I found myself singing, one of the prayers I've been praying is, I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more. More than ever before, I need you more. And I know, not just as I go on mission trips abroad, but I need to know him. And sometimes I come back from a mission trip and I've seen God do great things. And because you're tired, you let things slip. And I think, God, I want to know your presence like I knew when I was in that village or I was in this place. And you know, God's only as far away as we want him to be. You realize that? So he wants us to be pursuing and pressing in for the intimacy of relationship. And I believe that God is challenging some of you this morning. I'm saying, how intimate is that relationship? How intimate do you want it to be? The Song of Songs says, draw me after you, let us run together. You see, God is a drawing God. wants to draw you after himself, so that you will pursue him with all your heart. And that you'll know that whenever you're facing difficulties, you can be looking to the one with whom you have relationship. The one with whom the Spirit of God within you will lead you into all truth. What does he want to lead you into? The truth of relationship with Daddy in heaven. Lead you into the joy of that relationship. So that no matter what you face, no matter where you are, you'll be able to look and tune in to what the Spirit of God says. And he'll be, I've overcome. We can overcome. Where are you, God? God says, I've not moved. Why, I believe the Apostle Paul says, there's nothing in the whole of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. How can we be separated from the love of God when the Holy Spirit has been deposited within us, guaranteeing our inheritance? It's there. He's there. And his work is to draw us into intimacy. The question of heaven is, will you pursue him? Let's pray together. Father, there is nothing that is hidden from your eyes. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit searches all things. And you know where each one of us are. And you know that even this morning, Lord, I'm not bringing this word from a position of height, or that I've got it worked out. But you know, Lord, that it's the quest that you place within me. You know where each one of them is this morning before you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just stir within each one of us. As we sang earlier, that would be that stirring, that fanning into flame, that burning up again, that passion for you. Passion for your name, Lord. Passion for your presence. Holy Spirit, it's your desire that it would be stirred and that our hearts and minds would be aligned to it, that we would pursue you, because in pursuing you, there is life. There is fulfillment, there is joy. We sing it so often, Lord, that in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. We don't want to be out of your presence. Even in the midst of difficulties, we want to know the joy of the Lord being our strength. So Holy Spirit, would you work within each one of us and take us to another level of intimacy with you? Would you take us to that place where we would see you again, Father? Would you bring us to that fresh awareness again of that the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world, because you've overcome and you can help us to overcome. But above all, Father, would you cause us to be stirred with a passion to seek your face and to know that intimacy of relationship with you. Help us in these things, Father. Nourisher, provider, protector. Stir us in these things, so we would be a good reflection of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.